Hi everyone, welcome to the Kick-Ass Radio Show. Hope you've had an amazing week and welcome to Friday. Friday, the golden child of the weekdays, the superhero of the work week, the welcome wagon to the weekend. Friday is great because it's a day we can reflect on an awesome week that was. For those not on shift, it also ushers in the weekend where we don't have to worry about work or school. Here's to a fabulous Friday and I hope you all enjoy an awesome weekend filled with whatever you want to do. Today here on the show, we're talking about the ATS, that's the Applicant Tracking System, and how we can beat the bots. Now, I've told you before that recruiters and hiring managers typically spend an average of 6 seconds scanning a resume. 6 seconds. But that's only if your resume passes the initial screening of an Applicant Tracking System, or ATS. Seriously, you have 6 seconds to wow these people with your resume. Your resume has to kick ass and stand out to humans and robots alike. Otherwise, your application, it'll get tossed. Your resume is such an important tool in your job search toolbox. You want to make sure it's the best it can be, right? So I'm going to help you out and give you some tips to get past and beat the bots and land into the hands of a recruiter. Let's get our geek on. Okay, so you are listening to the Kick-Ass Radio Show, Kickstart, where we talk about all things women working in non-traditional roles in varied male-dominated industries, and I tell you how it is. Today, as we said, is episode 11, and we're talking about the Applicant Tracking System. I'm your host, Jo Sainsbury, the glow-getter, and my background is I'm no stranger to wearing high-vis workwear, getting down and dirty in the grease and the coal dust. My passion and purpose is to reinforce confidence, support and encourage more women to kick off their heels and tap into their steel caps and to consider pursuing non-traditional roles and careers as I share my knowledge, career experiences and understanding of these industries. So here we are on the radio show and I'm really excited to be sharing some know-how and some insights. Good morning to all my listeners across Australia. And a very pleasant good afternoon to all our listeners in the US. I hope we can keep you in good company and provide you all with a little more valued insight into some much needed topics and conversations for women wanting to transition into these varied industry sectors. I'll also take this opportunity to say today's episode is brought to you by one of the show's sponsors, and that's Kick-Ass Women. And a huge shout out to all the women working out on track and on site today, all over the globe. Stay safe, ladies, and have a great day. This might be a good time to also mention that the radio show does and may contain adult language. So let's get into it. Back to the show. Okay, let's do this. Job seekers, forget recruiters and hiring managers. There's a new gatekeeper standing between you and your dream job that you need to please first. Three quarters of all resumes never even get seen by human eyes. Instead, they're scanned by a piece of software known as an Applicant Tracking System, or ATS. Depending on how highly this machine ranks your resume, you could be first in line for an interview or buried so far down the list recruiters never find you. So if you want to get hired, you'll need to beat these bots. Thankfully, that's not hard to do. It just requires tweaking your resume to deliver exactly what the software system's been programmed to search for and nothing it hasn't been told to want. So we're saying, what the F is an ATS, Applicant Tracking System? An Applicant Tracking System, or ATS for short, is a type of software used by recruiters and employers during the hiring process to collect, sort, scan, and rank the job applications they receive for their open positions. Now, the ATS system was initially created for large corporations that are accustomed to dealing with several thousand inbound job applications on a weekly basis. Today, approximately 98% of larger companies rely on ATS software to help streamline their recruitment processes. However, what began as a recruitment solution for the larger employers has turned into a commonplace tool for companies of all shapes and sizes. So now you're asking, how does the ATS, or Applicant System, work? Applicant tracking systems act as an electronic gatekeeper for an employer. The ATS passes a resume's content into categories and then scans it for specific keywords to determine if the job application should be passed along to the recruiter. Its job is to essentially weed out unqualified applicants so the recruiter can devote his or her time to evaluating the candidates who are more likely to be a match for the position. In other words, the ATS is apt to toss the least qualified candidates rather than identify the applicants who are the best fit. Unfortunately, that means if a resume is not written and formatted with the applicant tracking system in mind, a qualified candidate can be easily passed over. Most applications are removed from the equation because they are not formatted in a way these systems can read and interpret. Contrary to popular belief, a PDF is not the most ATS-friendly file type. While PDF files are the best at preserving your design and format of your resume, it is not compatible with all ATS software. Since the best resumes are written with two audiences in mind, the robots pre-screening your application and the live human in HR who will review your resume, should it make it past the ATS? So when you're asked to upload your resume to an applicant tracking system and PDF is listed among the file types you can, by all means, use a PDF version of your resume. The online application usually specifies file uploads it accepts, but if it is unclear, if the system does not specify which file types are compatible, I would only recommend using a Word document or a plain text file for your resume file type, which are near universally understood by all ATS systems. If you don't have Microsoft Word, consider using free tools like Google Docs to save it in this format. And this will provide more creative freedom for you to write a resume that will appeal to a recruiter or hiring manager. If you want your resume to successfully pass the ATS, stick to a standard resume format, such as the hybrid resume. This resume format uses a professional summary section at the top of the document to outline your key skills and qualifications, and it combines it with a chronological work history section that explains how you've leveraged these qualities to produce results for your employers. Most ATS systems do a better job at reading and interpreting a hybrid format because they rely on chronological data to pass your resume. As a result, it's in your best interest to avoid a functional resume format at all costs, where the focus is placed on your abilities rather than a chronological work history. So use a clean resume design with a clear hierarchy. And I've previously talked about resume types, so you can go back through the episodes and find that particular one on the four types of resumes to check that out. And when it comes to your resume's design, less is more. Not only do complex resume designs or unusual formats confuse most applicant tracking systems, but they also annoy recruiters who are accustomed to quickly scanning a resume for the specific information they expect to find in the particular areas within your document. And don't put important details in the header or footer. Not all applicant tracking systems are able to properly read and parse information stored in the header and footer sections of a Word document. In fact, a recent study confirmed the ATS was unable to identify a portion of the job seeker's contact information 25% of the time. Avoid this same fate by placing important contact details, such as your name and your phone number and email address, outside the header or footer of your resume. And you need to always customize and optimize your resume with the keywords. Each resume you submit needs to be tweaked to mimic the exact language a company used in its job description. ATS determines whether you're qualified for the position based on how closely the terms you use match the keywords recruiters are searching for. Keyword optimization is the most important element. And one of the best ways to ensure your resume is compatible with an ATS is to optimize your resume with these keywords. Unlike a buzzword, which is typically considered to be a fluff or a fluffy term, such as proactive or self-starter, keywords represent the soft skills and hard skills you possess and the expertise you've acquired over the years that qualify you for this targeted job. Every profession has its own set of jargon, acronyms, certifications, and skill sets that describe their work and industry. So the ATS systems are programmed to look for those resume keywords to rank your job application and determine if you're a good fit for that role. If you're unsure which keywords should be used in your resume, start by collecting 3 to 5 job descriptions that represent the type of position you're chasing or you're pursuing. And then copy and paste the job description into a free word and phrase frequency tool like Wordle or Text Analyzer to identify the terms that are regularly used throughout those desired positions. The words that appear in the largest size font are the keywords you need to be sure to include. If you possess these skills or qualifications, incorporate these terms into your resume. And when it comes to creating the ATS optimized resume, you need to think about the frequency as well as the placement of these keywords throughout your resume. Some applicant tracking systems will determine the strength of your skills based on the number of times a term shows up in your resume. So aim to add the term 2 to 3 times throughout your document. Whereas others assign an estimated amount of experience for a particular skill based on its placement within the resume. Incorporate those keywords into your resume 2 to 3 times each, with at least one mention coming in your work experience section. To make a resume that is truly compatible with any ATS, you'll want to customise and optimise your resume with both the systems in mind. And you could also try a more sophisticated approach using tools like Francisco's Skill Sinker or Job Scan that will identify any skills or keywords missing from your resume and tell you how closely your application aligns with the job listing. Of course, you need to be honest. Don't mention a skill you don't possess just because it appears on the listing. Even if a bot can't tell you've keyword stuffed your resume, a hiring manager easily can. And then it's sticking to simplicity. While you may want to demonstrate your creativity to the hiring manager, the resume is not the place to do so. In fact, most ATS systems get easily confused by a resume's extra bells and whistles, such as logos and pictures and, you know, embedded charts, symbols and shading. It could easily reject your application out of confusion. And stick to standard fonts that are ATS friendly. And some of the most popular ones include the Calibri, Arial, Tahoma, and Cambria. Once again, use standard headers for the different sections of your resume, such as professional experience or work history, education, professional development, technical skills, and so forth. And lastly, proofread your resume carefully. While you may get dinged by a recruiter for writing definitely or spelling it wrong, at least they'll be able to figure out what you're trying to say. A software system will not. Don't let your application get tossed in the resume black hole because of a simple typo. Proofread your resume. Proofread it again and then proofread it again. Then hand it over to a friend for them to review and proofread it. Silly mistakes can be easily avoided if you take the proper precautions with these resume tips. Don't fall into the resume black hole. You may not be able to control the recruiter's actions, but these resume tips will ensure your job application makes it past the ATS screen and onto a human being for review. Okay, we're going to take a little break. Enjoy the tune, and I'll be back with you soon. Thanks for tuning back in. Now we're going to talk about resume land and the resume black hole. If you've ever looked for a job, you're probably familiar with the notorious resume black hole. It goes something like this. You find the perfect job online, submit your resume, and then wait, hoping against hopes that you'll receive a callback. More often than not, no one ever contacts you about your application, and you're left wondering what you could have done differently to change the outcome. Sound familiar? You're not alone. The resume black hole overload. We too often hear from our friends and other job seekers who are frustrated by the lack of response from employers. What many of them don't realise, however, is that oftentimes the hiring manager never receives their job application. From crafting a winning cover letter to acing an interview, landing a job is tough enough in this market. But millions of job seekers can't even get a boot in the door as they apply to countless positions and seldom hear anything in response. Let me explain. Before your job application is passed along to the hiring manager, it first has to be reviewed by one, if not two, initial gatekeepers, like we were talking about earlier. First is the electronic screen, the ATS system, and then it would be possibly a junior level HR coordinator. In both of these cases, the gatekeeper has been instructed to scan the document for important pieces of information and terms related to the role at hand. If the resume meets the criteria, it will pass through the screen and make its way to the next reviewer, either an experienced recruiter or hiring manager, who will have a better understanding of your work and capabilities. If your resume doesn't make it past these initial gatekeepers, the hiring manager is never made aware of your application. And the ease of free online job sites has boosted the number of candidates applying for each job opening. With hundreds or even thousands of people competing for the same jobs, most hiring managers and recruiters are inundated with candidates, and many of them simply get lost in the shuffle. The good news is, as a job seeker, you have hundreds and hundreds of jobs in front of you. The bad news is, because everything is so out there, it's also incredibly available to everybody. Gone are the days of the thoughtful response to a classified job posting in the newspaper. Now it's so easy just to send your resume everywhere and blast it all over the globe. Because recruiters and hiring managers are bombarded with so many applications, there is less opportunity to send responses to everyone who applies. Even recruiters admit that they are unable to handle the influx of applications they receive just for one single job listing. And the online job application process has made it significantly easier to apply for available positions. So you've applied for a job. Now what? Your resume usually goes through a series of stages before it's decided whether or not you'll be invited to an interview. While you may apply for several jobs per day from your computer, you probably don't know what happens to your resume after you submit an application. As the applicant, you don't get to see what those stages are and who might be reading your resume at each point in the process. Sometimes you'll receive a response from the recruiter. Other times you may never hear back at all. So now I'll walk you through and discuss the application process so you can better understand what is happening with your resume after applying to a position. And I'll also be going to give you a series of tips that will help you best position yourself for success throughout the application and interview process and help your application avoid the resume black hole and make it through those initial reviews and to the top of the hiring manager's pile. So the big question remains, what happens after I submit my resume? There is no set process that companies follow during the hiring process. Some companies have concrete steps that they must follow, while other organisations are more casual in their candidate review process. The job application process will vary depending on the position and the industry. Some companies will interview and hire you in a matter of days. Other roles in different companies can take up to 6 months to fill, with multiple interviews and pre-employment tests involved. And I actually experienced that procedure, and it's pretty daunting and has you on edge because it takes so long and so slow. And if you are applying for jobs, you can usually gain a basic understanding of the steps, even if there is not a set process. So here's an in-depth explanation of each step a company usually takes when hiring. So the first is, we'll recap, is the ATS system. So reviewing 100 resumes is a tedious process, or 1,000. As a result, many companies have invested in the software tools that collect and sort through resumes to help narrow the field of relevant applicants. So the ATS allows employers to collect, sort, and manage the entire hiring process for any given position. So what does this mean for you? Applicant tracking systems compare the skills listed on your resume with keywords and phrases mentioned in the job listing. We're doing a bit of a recap here. So for example, if the company's advertised and needs a project manager with 5 years of experience, the ATS will scan your resume for project management and the amount of experience. The ATS will also scan for relevant job titles and additional job prerequisites designated by the company. While there is no set timeline for how long this initial step will take, it is likely to last several days to several weeks before the company has a large enough pool of candidates ready for manual review. The next step is a recruiter completes preliminary candidate reviews. So once the ATS system selects the top resumes, the recruiting team takes over. This part of the selection process can vary from company to company, depending on several factors, including the organisation's size and structure, as well as the type of role you're applying for. So generally, the recruitment team will review the shortlist of candidates and inspect for information that applicant tracking systems might have missed or aren't capable of deciphering. And that can include your quality of educational background, soft skills, volunteer work, and work experience details. So during the review process, recruiters will remove any applications that slip through the software check or don't meet the company's qualifications. They will also sort the resumes so they can contact higher matching candidates first. From there, it goes to the direct manager review. So at this stage, the recruiting team will often share the strongest applicants with the hiring team for their review. And the hiring team will then go through the process of manually reviewing candidates and creating a shortlist for the recruiters to have an initial interview. Oftentimes, they will also keep a small list of additional candidates as alternates in case the top group are not the right fit or may have already accepted another offer. Now, this can be a lengthy step as hiring teams already have their typical daily responsibility, plus the addition of potential candidates to review. So do not let the length of time it may take discourage you or prevent you from applying for more jobs. And sometimes hiring teams may send out a questionnaire. Not all companies send out personality tests or questionnaires, but it's common for larger companies who receive numerous, like hundreds of resumes in a day for one position. And the results of these tests help recruiters narrow down the resumes they must have a look at. So after applying for a job, you may receive an email to complete one of these tests. So that's those psychometric tests, aptitude tests. So the test subject will depend on the position you're applying for and the company, of course. Some of these tests are personality tests, mechanical reasoning tests, and others want to demonstrate your technical abilities. These tests decrease the chances the company will hire someone who doesn't actually have the skills to do the job without having to bring them in for an interview. Then we're on to where the top candidates are called in for interviews. So with the top candidates to interview in hand, the recruiter or hiring manager will now start reaching out to potential employees. And every company has its own interview process, and you will likely experience different interview types and styles as you enter the job market. And I'm going to cover that actually in a future episode. So as an example, a hiring manager or recruiter might conduct 10 phone interviews before bringing in 5 people for an in-person interview. You might have to come in for a second or third interview before receiving an offer. By keeping an open mind and preparing for each step of the interview process, you can increase your chances of landing that job. So what can you do after you submit your resume? And like we said, the waiting period after submitting your resume can sometimes be as stressful as the period between an interview and the decision. So to help, you can take a few steps to prepare. So here's how you can stand out and increase your chances of getting an interview. Now, it's critical and crucial to check for any important dates or deadlines. So that's in the job advert. So reread the job posting or advert to see if there is any information about application deadlines or the review process. So as an example, if the application window doesn't close for 2 weeks after you've submitted your resume, then the recruiting team might not even look at resumes until this period ends. And that's more so the case. Knowing that the window is still open can help you relax a little more. While many companies post application windows, not all of them follow set deadlines. And like high profile and motivated companies might start looking at applications within a day or two of posting the job. Others may take weeks or even months. Remember, every company has its own unique hiring process. Next, I want you to do some research on the company and your future co-workers. Use your time waiting to learn about the company. Research challenges in their industry and changes that the company has made over previous months or years. This will prepare you to answer questions during the interview process and make you more knowledgeable of the problems facing your potential employer. Utilise your LinkedIn profile. Now, we talked about that about a couple of weeks ago. Follow the company, and you can also research the people who you're going to work with. Get to know your potential boss and co-workers, including their backgrounds, professional specialties and interests. If you have any connections, ask them if there is anything you should know about the person that could help you in the process. You can even reach out to your potential manager. So here's a special little tip I'll give you. If you can find an email for your future manager or hiring team, consider reaching out. You can introduce yourself, mention you've submitted your resume, and state how excited you are at the idea of working with them. This is a small step that very few people take when applying for a job online. However, it can be a great way to stand out and kick ass. Reaching out can also help you bypass part of the review process. If you impress your employer, they might contact the recruiting team and ask for your resume directly or recommend your name for one of their top picks. However, be careful not to overstep your boundaries during this step. Remember, don't be a stalker. Your future manager is probably incredibly busy and may not have much time to converse with you. Keep your email concise and friendly, and quickly outline why you believe you are a great fit based on your experience and skills. And then if you don't hear back from your future employer for a few weeks, reach out and ask about the position. You should be able to find the email from your recruiting from the recruiting department as a confirmation that they've sent. And you can check on the status of the job. They will typically let you know if the job is still available, if the team is still sorting through resumes, or if interviews have started. Following up shows that you care about the position and are actively engaged in the application process. Lastly, you need to prepare for an interview. If all goes well, then you will likely get called for an interview. This is when the preparation process begins. Preparedness and knowledgeable, my two kick-ass rules for an interview. You must be prepared and knowledgeable about the company and about your own self, your resume. Applying to multiple jobs will also help you stay calm during the hiring process. You won't feel stressed about getting hired by a specific place because your focus has turned to applying at several companies. And if you interviewed for a position and you were turned down, don't take it personally. Learn from the rejection and continue to apply for more jobs. Remember, job searching is hard and looking for your next big opportunity is exciting. Finding one you're truly excited about is even harder, but that doesn't take away from the fact that it takes work, likely on top of all your other work you've got. And it doesn't mean you should give up or accept the first offer you get either. The right position's out there for you. And once you land it, you're going to forget all about this process all over again. Okay, we'll go to a quick break and we'll be back soon.
Hey, Glow Getters. Did you know that Jo Sainsbury is a published author for her book, High Heels to High Viz, and has been named an Amazon number one bestseller? Telling the story about Jo's transition from the corporate sector into industry, High Heels to High Viz acts as a guide for women who are considering a non-traditional role and career. High Heels to High Viz is available for purchase online at all leading bookstores, including Amazon, Dimex, Waterstones, and eBay.
Okay, so we're back. Now, if you weren't tuned in last week to hear about my new segment, I've introduced a segment called Kick-Ass Women Making Waves, and it's to the women who break the glass ceiling and pave the way for others after them. So I thought it was about time to introduce a weekly segment to recognise extraordinary achievements and contributions women have made and continue to make in our unbalanced world of the rail, mining, resources, STEM and construction industries. We live in an exciting period of history. The groundswell for change to a more gender-balanced world is growing, with people speaking up and demanding equal opportunity for all women in all walks of life. Women are making their own noise about equality and achievement in all sectors of industry in a world that often serves up extra hurdles for females. These women are trailblazers who, through courage and perseverance, challenge the status quo, defying societal norms with the love of their work and improving the quality of life for many. They are mothers, daughters, sisters. They are worthy to be honoured. So each week I'm going to spotlight one of these extraordinary women who are making a difference and that are inspiring role models that we have the privilege to work alongside every day. So this week, our kick-ass women making waves spotlight is on. We need that drum roll. BHP Peak Down's geotechnical engineer, Catherine Young. Geotech engineer, she is at BHP's Peak Downs mine in Moranbah, Central Queensland. Catherine has just been announced as the winner of the recent 2020 Women in Resources National Awards in the category of Newcrest Exceptional Young Woman in Australian Resources for her impressive technical leadership, mentoring, and strong advocacy on gender diversity. Catherine has a long list of achievements in her career, which really took off when she was accepted into the BHP graduate program back in 2014, taking her from Brisbane to Blackwater. Catherine has worked at Blackwater Mine, Caval Ridge, Norwich Park, South Walker Creek, Poitrel and Saraji Mines before her most recent position at Peak Downs Mine here in Central Queensland. Catherine also promotes science, technology and engineering and mathematics careers and mentors and encourages female students to pursue careers in the resources and engineering industry and believes that attracting women into the resource industry should begin at school and university. Catherine has said her role supported her endeavours and encouraged her to continue leading the way for young women by drawing on her personal experience as a young female engineer. Catherine had to learn how to coach and break down barriers and prejudices so that they could improve the way they do things rather than just do them the way they've always been done. So congratulations, Catherine Young. You are a kick-ass woman making waves. Okay, so we're on the downhill run. Now we're going to talk about online job application mistakes. These job application mistakes can ruin your chances of landing the job. It has happened to most of us. You sent in your job application online and anxiously waited by the computer, only to never hear back from the hiring manager again. Ever wonder what you did wrong? Of course, the job market is extremely competitive with an influx of graduates coming in year after year looking for their first jobs, as well as people wanting to make career changes. However, that may not be the only reason you're not getting a good response from your job applications. You might be making one of these six biggest job application mistakes that send your resume straight into the reject pile. So the first one is not following the application procedure. You've been taught to follow directions since primary school, so put that skill to good use. Read the application procedure thoroughly and follow the directions. If the company requires you to attach a cover letter with the application form, don't forget to attach one or think that you don't need it. Should the company want you to take an online test in addition to filling out the application, make sure that you complete the test along with your submission by the due time. Making a small mistake, like leaving a required section blank in your application form, can easily get your resume ignored or even trashed. It's always a good idea to get someone else to reread your application form prior to submitting so that you don't make otherwise easily avoidable application mistakes. And the next one's poor email etiquette. If you sent a job application via email and did not hear back from the hiring manager, recheck your email and ensure that you didn't make some of the cringe-worthy mistakes that turn hiring managers off. First of all, make sure that your email has a subject line that's professional, concise, and relevant. Additionally, your email address should reflect professionalism. So for example, if you've got an email name such as hotpants99@gmail.com, that will be a turnoff for most potential employers. So create a professional email address. Another email etiquette mistake that applicants often unknowingly make is using poor grammar and punctuation. Nobody needs to know that you're confused with the use of your and your. Websites, as well as your Microsoft Word and Google Docs programs, they have spell check. As well as you've got websites like Grammarly, they're free and easy resources that are readily available to help you with these small technicalities. And another turnoff for hiring managers when you misspell their name. You saying dear Valerie and spelling it incorrectly is not a good idea and will certainly not help make Valerie's day any better. The next is submitting a poorly written resume. Imagine the horror if you happen to make a silly mistake on your resume and it gets posted to all those promising career websites. Since most hiring managers still use resumes as a basis to evaluate applicants in the recruitment process, make sure you avoid these common resume deal breakers: grammatical errors, missing contact information, irrelevant or outdated information. And you can always use a professional resume writer for writing your resume. It may cost a little bit of money, but it would be worth it and would avoid making these costly job application mistakes. And not customizing your cover letter to the job posting. While you should always tailor your resume to the job posting, you also need to make sure you're customizing your cover letter to suit that job description. Your cover letter is basically a sales pitch to convince the hiring manager why the position interests you and why you're the best candidate for the job. Employers can spot a generic cover letter from a mile away, and your application will surely be tossed in the bin if you choose to go down that road. And be sure to diligently research the company, as I said earlier, and tactfully highlight your skills that match what the organisation is looking for. Your cover letter is also a great platform to let the manager and recruiter get a glimpse of your personality and convince them that you're a great fit for the company's culture. Use this tool wisely when you submit a job application online. And then next is applying for multiple positions at the same company. When you desperately need a job to pay the bills, you might be tempted to apply to every job opening that you come across, even if there are multiple ones from the same company. While this move might appear to increase your chance of landing a job, it could actually reflect badly on you and backfire. This is one of the common online job application mistakes that newbies make. When you apply to multiple positions at the same company, employers will assume that you're either not taking the job search seriously or have no idea what career path you really want to take. Either way, it leaves a bad impression of you and makes it appear that you're not passionate about anything or any particular field. And the last is lying on your job application. One of the main reasons many employers don't use resumes as the sole deciding factor in hiring someone is the fact that many applicants still lie on their resumes. Please don't ever make this job application mistake. The moment your recruiter figures out you lied, you can kiss the opportunity to work with that company goodbye. Even if you somehow get through the recruitment process without getting caught, the truth will come out eventually and your employer will never be able to trust you again. Worse still, if they know other hiring managers in the industry you're looking at, they might talk about you and consequently give you a bad rap to other companies as well. You can fix this job application mistake by simply telling the truth. At the end of the day, avoiding these online job application mistakes will help you achieve job search success. Be vigilant, not sloppy, when it comes to your job search.
Hey, GlowGetters. Did you know that Jo Sainsbury is a published author for her book High Heels to High Viz and has been named an Amazon number one bestseller? Telling the story about Jo's transition from the corporate sector into industry, High Heels to High Viz acts as a guide for women who are considering a non-traditional role and career. High Heels to High Viz is available for purchase online at all leading bookstores, including Amazon, Dimex, Waterstones and eBay.
Okay, so here's your take five. Kick off your heels, boot that ATS system out the door. So first tip is applicant tracking systems scan resumes and filter for qualified candidates. Be sure to tailor your resume to the job you are applying for. Review the job description and include relevant skills, keywords, and experience the company is looking for within your resume and cover letter. Be sure not to lie or over-optimize your resume in an attempt to trick the system, as there are sometimes safeguards in place that will flag candidates who do so. Number two, utilize a simple, easy-to-read resume template along with clear, concise language in your resume and cover letter. This will help both the applicant tracking system and recruiters quickly digest the relevant information in your application documents. Number three, Always customize and optimize your resume with keywords which represent the soft skills and hard skills you possess and the expertise you've acquired over the years that qualify you for your targeted job. Number four, stick to simplicity. Remember, most ATS systems get easily confused by a resume's extra bells and whistles and could easily reject your application out of confusion. So kiss it. Keep it simple, silly. And number five is proofread. Proofread, proofread, proofread your resume carefully and proofread it again and get someone else to proofread it before you submit it. And lastly, here is your safety affirmation for the week. Don't let the fear of striking out keep you from playing the game. And if at first you don't succeed, try, try, try again. That's it, guys. I do hope you found the information helpful and valuable, and it gives you a little bit more of an insight to the importance of those key words and remember your personality. Yes, the ATS is a robot, but the hope is your resume eventually makes its way to human hands. You want to ensure to balance your resume, but making it legible and easy to read for an ATS, but not making it so tailored that it feels cold. Go forth, start building your resume that passes the ATS and human test today. Good luck. I'd just like to also mention that October is National Safe Work Month here in Australia. So over the month, I'm going to do a safety share as we all need to commit to building safe and healthy workplaces. No one should be unsafe at work and no injury or death is acceptable. There is more than that. There is more that we can do and together we can make a difference. So my message today to kickstart off the month is take the lead with workplace health and safety. No matter what you do, safely starts with you. Listen, look and ask. Ensure fitness for your job. Use personal protective equipment. Avoid alcohol and drugs at work and watch out for your mates. Help prevent workplace safety incidents. Stay safe. As always, I really appreciate you guys giving your time to listen to this radio show. You can find more information on this episode in the show notes or on my social media pages, either on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram. All right, lovelies, love having you all share your time with me. Come back next week where we are going to talk about work and life balance, more so boundary management. Make sure to follow me on Kick-Ass Women or Joe Sainsbury social media pages if you haven't already, where we will break down this episode throughout the week. I'm a bit tongue-tied now. And I would really love to hear from you guys, so show some love for your new radio show by leaving me a review on BBS Radio Network. Or you can send me an email. My email is Jody, J-O-D-Y, at kickasswomen.com.au. Or find me on Facebook at facebook.com/kickasswomenaustralia. And be sure to stay tuned in for future episodes. Well, that's all for today's show. Thanks for your company and for listening to Kick-Ass Radio. It's not goodbye, but see you later. Stay safe and well. You guys rock and have an amazing day or evening. Go crush it. Keep in touch. Poscoms, always. Go on, get your glow on. Become a glow-getter.